Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is continuing his sermon titled, The Deity of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John begins with a series of declarative statements about the deity of Jesus Christ. In the first verse of chapter 1, he repeats what is stated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, telling us that when time began, the Word was already in existence. This unique name for Christ, the Word, tells us that Christ, as the eternal Word of God, is a revelation of God to man. Let's listen and learn.
In John 14, and most know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so the only begotten son, he was and is the Word who was with God, was God, was in the beginning with God, created all things, is life himself. He's the light of all men, cannot be overcome by darkness. This is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus was and is the only begotten from the Father. And the only begotten from the Father was the Word who was with God from the beginning, was God, created all things that exist, was the light of men, and cannot be overcome by darkness. This is the definitive statement in the Bible written by one of Jesus' original disciples and apostles, John the Beloved, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was, apart from any shadow of a doubt, he was deity. He was God. He was one with his Father in the substance and essence of all that makes God to be God. This is why Jesus could say, and not be telling a lie, he who has seen me has seen the Father. This is why he could tell men, you believe in God? That's good. Believe also in me. This is why he could say, I can't do anything other than what the Father does. As the Father has life in himself, I do. I do the works of the Father. Nobody else could say that. In order for anybody to say that, you have to be equal with God. And Jesus was. He was God from God, light from light, eternally begotten and not made. Same substance and essence as God, his Father. How any sane person could read John 1:14 and not come to the same conclusion, but dogmatically deny it. You are extremely arrogant. And ignorant. Or you're a heretic. If you can read John 1:1-5 and read down through verse 14 and still try to conclude Jesus was not deity, he was not God Almighty, then there's something drastically wrong with your thinking. You are either extremely ignorant or you're a heretic, an apostate. All right, let's move on. And so, as we continue to read through John's gospel, we see Jesus proclaiming in no uncertain or ambiguous terms that he indeed was divine. Or even though he was truly human, he was still truly divine, or truly God, sharing the same substance and essence and nature with God, his Father. So somebody says, you show me one place in the Bible where Jesus claimed to be God. Well, he said it quite a few times. See, the problem is when they say that, they want you to find Jesus running around Jerusalem saying, I'm God. Look at me, I'm God, bragging. But those of us who understand the Gospels and the person of Christ, he was also infinitely humble and meek And someone who's infinitely humble would not run around bragging they're God. Now, some men do that because they're arrogant and ignorant. Nevertheless, he still did say quite a few times he wanted to be known that he was one with his Father in the substance and essence of God. John 5:17-18. But he, Jesus, answered them, talking to the Jews, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, that's the Bible, the scriptures. In this passage, Jesus had proclaimed God was his Father in a sense that is not true of anybody else. For what he was proclaiming was God was his Father apart from an earthly father. And he also proclaimed he could do whatever God could do. These angry Jewish religious leaders were not ignorant, as many in the pulpit and on sometime the madness of YouTube are today. For verse 18 clearly says they understood exactly what Jesus was proclaiming. They knew he was proclaiming to be equal with God. They knew he was a man who said, "I'm God." They got it. His enemies got it. And I don't know why you can't get that. You know, you claim to be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and run around there saying Jesus was not God. He was just the Son of God. And we know they understood that he was proclaiming to be God because verse 18 says this. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus proclaimed he was equal with God, his Father. In other words, one in the substance and essence of God. And so if one is equal with God, they have to be exactly the same as God in all that makes God to be God. And so Jesus was very clear in these verses in proclaiming his deity or divinity. And he was so clear, even the evil religious leaders of his day understood clearly what he was saying. They said, "Man, you're a man making yourself equal with God." If you notice, Jesus never denied that. He never said, "Wait a minute, don't say that about me." He never denied that. He never reprimanded them for that statement. When they said, "You're making yourself equal with God," he didn't inform them otherwise. John 8:58-59. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." The text says, "Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." Jesus in this passage declared himself to be I am. The Greek word for I am is ego ami. It is a verb of existence. It simply means to be or to exist. It is the Greek equivalent to God's revelation of himself to Moses in Exodus 3:14. It reads like this. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." And so the Hebrew word in this text is closely related to the name Yahweh, the name of God. And it indicates God's self-existence. No beginning, no end, but he simply is. Jesus used the Greek equivalent in John 8:58 when he talked about himself. When he said, "Before Abraham was," he says, "I am." Before Abraham was, the Greek word is, I simply exist. Not I existed, but I exist, period. eternal, no beginning, no ending. And once again, the Jewish religious leaders clearly understood what Jesus was saying, because they immediately tried to stone him to death for blasphemy, for having the audacity to say, I am the one who sent Moses to you in the wilderness. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. It is a statement of eternal existence. And the only one who exists eternally is God. I didn't write this one down, but John 10:30. Jesus, I and the Father are one. I, ego, and Kai, the Father, Pater. He says they are one. The word one there, very interesting. It's neuter in the Greek language. And what it indicates is that the Father, when Jesus says, I and the Father, what it means is they are distinct in person. Yet he says they are one. It's neuter in the Greek language, meaning he and the Father were and are distinct in person, but they are the same thing, the same essence, the same substance of God. And the Jews wanted to kill him after making that statement again, because they knew Jesus was proclaiming to be God Almighty. He was proclaiming his deity, both God and man. And then John 20:24-28. And so in this passage, the disciples had stated that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and they said, we saw him. We saw him alive. And Thomas was not with them when they saw him. And so Thomas said in verse 25, John 20:25, unless I see the hands, unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger in the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. 8 days later, the disciples and Thomas were all together inside some type of dwelling with the door shut tight. Then in the wink of an eye, Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Then Jesus said to Thomas, bring your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand here and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Listen at what Thomas then said to Jesus. Thomas answered him, to Jesus, my Lord and my God. He is saying to Jesus that Jesus is his Lord and his God. And so Thomas directly addressed Jesus as his Lord and his God. The word Lord there, once again, it's kurios. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word for God, Yahweh or Jehovah. And he also addressed him as my God. God is the Greek word theos, meaning supreme God. Therefore, when Thomas said, my Lord and my God, what he actually said to the risen Christ, you are my Yahweh. You are my Lord. And you are my supreme God. You are my Yahweh, my Jehovah, and my God supreme. If you notice, Jesus did not stop and correct Thomas and say, wait a minute, Thomas. I'm not God. I'm just the Son of God. He didn't say, wait a minute. I'm Michael the Archangel. He didn't say, wait a minute, I'm just a prophet or good man that teaches some good things. He didn't say all of that. He freely accepted Thomas' confession concerning him as being Yahweh and Theos, Lord and God. And so the Gospel of John is the gospel of the deity or divinity of Christ. For the Holy Spirit, through the pen of John, clearly wrote Jesus was the Word who was with God, was God, was in the beginning with God, and the one through whom all things have been made, that have been made, And apart from him, nothing could be made. John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote Jesus was the life that is the light of all men. And then in he says, and this same word was made flesh. And the disciples beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness that he was God because the Holy Spirit inspired him to do such. And Jesus himself proclaimed the same thing. He proclaimed God was his own Father in the ontological sense. And the Jews understood that he was a man who made himself equal with God. And therefore they tried to stone him for blasphemy. Jesus proclaimed the same thing again when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Same terminology God tells Moses, my name is I am in Exodus 3:14. He's clearly identifying himself as the God in Exodus 3:14. The Jews once again understood it. A lot of Christians don't, but they did. They weren't even saved. And they said, we're going to stone you because you're declaring yourself to be God. Jesus made the same statement, declared himself God. John 10 and 30. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Not the same person, because if it had meant the same person, the word one there would be masculine in the Greek language, right as I and Father would be masculine. If they were the same person, I, Father, and one would all be masculine. But I and Father are masculine, but when he says we are one, he doesn't use the masculine gender. He says we are neuter. We are distinct in person. We are masculine persons. But we are one. We are the same thing. They equally share one and the same essence and substance of God. And so Jesus truly was God Almighty. And then Thomas clearly professed that Jesus was his Yahweh and his Theos, his Lord. His Lord and his God. His Lord, God, supreme. In view of all of this, the question some who claim to be Christians or some other faith often challenge people to find one place in the Bible where Jesus proclaimed himself to be God. Just show me one place. Well, I just gave you quite a few where the Holy Spirit proclaimed it, those who knew him proclaimed it, and Jesus himself proclaimed that he was God. He was one with his Father. He was truly God and truly sinless humanity, man. He was one person with two distinct natures, the nature of God and the nature of man. God is one being who eternally subsists in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is God the Son. He is one with his Father and the Spirit in the substance and essence of God. All that God is, Jesus is the same. Same power, same might, because they equally share one and the same power, one and the same might. They equally share one and the same eternal existence, one and the same love, one and the same mercy, one and the same grace. In every sense of the term, Jesus was one with his Father in the things of God. This is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. Cannot deny the deity of Christ and profess to be a Christian at the same time. Now, when you first come to know the Lord, you may be ignorant of this, because when most come to the Lord as Savior, when most come to Christ as Savior, they don't know any doctrine, they don't know any theology. These things have to be taught in discipleship, and as they progressively grow in sanctification, these things have to be taught. First and foremost, by biblically literate, sound pastors and teachers and Bible teachers. They need to be taught these biblical truths. But beloved, if you've been taught these things and you deny it, that's an issue. Because what that says is you are a heretic. You cannot reject the deity of Christ and be saved. Because your salvation is dependent upon the fact that he was truly God and truly sinless man. Because he was a sinless man, he could sacrifice his life as your substitute on the cross for your sins. Because he was truly human, he could offer up his blood to you as a blood to God, his Father, as a payment for your sins. But because he was God, the sacrifice was perfect. So you see, he had to be the God-man to save us. Truly God, truly sinless man. He had to be truly sinless to die for my sin, your sin. And in order for that sacrifice to be perfect in the eyes of God, he himself had to be perfect, and the only one perfect is God. This is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. I don't care if you're shouting. I don't care if you're falling out on the floor. I don't care if you got four PhDs. I don't care if you call yourself an apostle or a prophet, which I don't believe anyways. I don't care if you call yourself an anointed bishop or whoever or whatever you claim to be. To reject the deity of Christ is one of the crassest forms of heresy. If you reject that, you are a heretic. And last time I checked, heretics do not enter the kingdom of God. They don't hear the Lord say at the end of the day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But what they do hear is, "You've done all these wonderful works in my name, cast out devils and did all this other stuff." And the Lord says, I will say to you, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." You cannot reject the deity of Christ and be saved. You must confess him as Lord. If you believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, Jesus as what? Lord. The word Lord there is Kyrios, the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Yahweh. Confess him as Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, and believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say and reject him as Lord, but still receive him, and you will be saved. Nope, nope, nope. This is an essential truth of the Christian faith. And we preachers and pastors have a responsibility to cut it straight and tell it exactly like it need to be told. You are not a Christian if you reject the deity of Jesus Christ. Just as you are not a Christian if you reject the humanity of Jesus Christ. We read about that in the first epistle of John. You can't deny that Jesus was truly human. And you cannot deny he was truly God. You're a heretic. John says those who do that, they went out from us that it might be made known that they were never of us. Because if they'd have been of us, they would have remained with us. This is serious stuff. It's more important than having church. It's more important than you getting your shout thing on. It's more important than all of this nonsense we see today that's pounded off as church. And props on stages and fire coming out the stage and smoke coming out the stage and, you know, all of these props and people swinging out of ceilings on ropes coming down like they flying and in the pulpit dressed up in army fatigues and doing all of this other nonsense. That stuff means nothing. Nothing. But this is essential. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, Son of Man, one with the Father, truly God, truly sinless man, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all life, took upon himself human flesh. God the Father cast all of your sins on him. And he laid his body down on Calvary's cross. And when the nails sunk into his body, that was him paying the price for your sins. He was buried. But God raised him from the dead on the third day, vindicating he was exactly who he proclaimed to be. He was truly God, truly sinless man, crucified for our sins, buried, but raised by God his Father on the third day. Stepped on a cloud, ascended back into heaven, and took his rightful place that he had from all eternity with the Father at the right hand of God. If you don't believe that, you are not saved, beloved. You do not know Christ as your Savior. You may have you some religion. You got you some church. I don't care what your handle is, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, Presbyterian, or whatever you claim to be. I don't claim if you're getting your step on Sunday morning and all this other kind of nonsense that I see taking place. And I say it's nonsense because it can't even be discussed in the same league with Jesus. He's a unique Son of God, the only one of his kind. And if you're not trusting in the biblical Jesus, the right one was both God and man, I'm sorry, according to the Bible, you're lost. This is a fundamental, crucial doctrine of the Christian faith. All right, my beloved, I'm going to be back shortly. I want to talk a little bit about the incarnation of Christ. Exactly how did God take upon himself human flesh, but never cease to be God? And I need to do this because there's some foolish teaching once again on YouTube about the incarnation. And it falls into the category of heresy also. So these are important subjects. Anytime we start talking about the person and work of Christ, it's serious stuff. It's no time for compromise, because the Bible is very clear on these things. All right, beloved, I got a little dogmatic today. Sometimes you have to do that. But may God bless you until we see each other the next time. Have a good day. Have a good evening. Have a good morning. I shall be back. Thank God that he's redeemed us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Till the next time, good day, my friends.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God, Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world.